In 2005, I traveled to India, and within the near point of my life, I took these things. They're like cabs, but they're called rickshaws. And they're these three-wheeled things, and they can seat about four people, and if you're willing to cuddle up with the driver, five. And man, these things are crazy. And these guys who are driving these rickshaws are not afraid to drive head on to a bus just coming at you. No worries, I'll figure out some way to bail out at the end. They're crazy, they're nuts. How many of you guys have ever driven in a foreign country? We got a couple, a few of you guys. That's pretty awesome. Look, it's crazy, and I would not recommend your first out-of-country experience to be in India because you will die. See, in the United States, we have a wonderful thing called law that actually is policed and people pay attention. I don't know if you guys noticed, but there was actually a traffic light at that intersection. Guarantee you, it wasn't even plugged in. Like, I'm just telling you. So, but here in the United States, we enjoy this wonderful, incredible thing called law. Now, sometimes we don't enjoy it when we see blue lights flashing in our rearview mirror, right? But I would take that all day long. I would take tickets and driving school all day long over the blood pressure being through the roof and at the near point of my life every single day I get into a moving vehicle. You guys know what I'm saying? So as we jump into God's word today, Jesus is going to be talking with us about this thing called law. And a lot of times we hear the word law, we kind of cringe a little bit because it means rules and it means regulations and it means we got to do stuff that we might not want to do. And today Jesus is going to call us back up the mountain. We're in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. He is going to teach us about the incredible wonder of God's law. Let's grab our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. It's on page 671 of the Mosaic Bibles, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus is speaking and he says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Now, the Jewish people who were sitting around this mountainside would have heard those words and gone, "Whoo!" Because in their mind, the law that God had given them and that had created as for them a people group, created some unity, created some tranquility and some peace, they would have been wondering, this new guy Jesus who's on the scene, he's doing miracles, he has authority, he's teaching, I wonder, is he going to bring something new to us? Is he going to bring some new teaching that's going to abolish the law and do away with everything that we've grown up with? And Jesus reassures them here and says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." In verse 18, he says, "I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." And he goes on to say, "Anyone who breaks one of these, the least of these commandments, and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these things, these commands, will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And then he makes this very curious statement. He says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, at that moment in time, there would have been a slight gasp in the crowd. When Jesus says to them, now, nothing is going to be abolished, that's like, whoo. When he says, if anyone teaches people to break these commandments, they're least in the kingdom. If anyone upholds these and teaches others to uphold these, they're greatest in the kingdom. And by the way, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. At that moment, I promise you, there's a little bit of a gasp. Why? Because the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were so incredibly driven by the law and driven by obedience to the law that the law itself, everything that is in the Old Testament scriptures, was not enough for them. They wanted more laws, so they added laws on top of that. And so God said, don't work on the Sabbath. So they developed 50 different laws to make sure that people don't work on the Sabbath. They were crazy. And so these people who were listening on the mountainside would have gone, unless my righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, no way. And so we begin to scratch our heads. And thankfully, as Jesus' ministry continues, he begins to explain that righteousness is in him. As he continues his ministry on the earth, Jesus actually literally fulfills every law that God had written down perfectly without fault and without error. And you and I would have never had any hope to do that. Not only does Jesus fulfill the law, but he also fulfills everything that had been written about him in the Old Testament by the prophets, declaring himself to be God, to be the Messiah, and ending his life on a cross so that our sins could be forgiven. You see, Jesus came to the earth and said, look, just so you know, the law that was written was perfect, and I will perfectly walk within that law so that if you have faith in me, in the life that I lived, you can be forgiven of when you broke the law. Because I don't know about you guys, but when I read just the Ten Commandments, I don't get very far before I'm like, dang it, I broke that one, right? How many of you guys you know what I'm talking about. So Jesus comes onto the scene and says, I haven't come to abolish, but to fulfill. And just so you know, because I am fulfilling the law, your righteousness will be able to exceed that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. There was a Pharisee and a teacher of the law. I don't know, he may have been in that crowd, probably not, but his name was the Apostle Paul. How many of you guys have heard of this guy, right? Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. So if you've not heard of him, that's who we're talking about. And he was actually a Pharisee. He was one of those guys that was walking around doing all of the law and adding on top of that, because what the law was not enough for them. They wanted to add more laws on top. And so Paul was a Pharisee, and Jesus stopped him in his tracks as he was beginning to persecute the church. In the book of Acts, it records that Jesus stopped him and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He says, who are you? He says, I'm the Lord Jesus. And Paul at that moment became a Christian and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament for us. And Paul dives in Romans chapter 3. We're going to turn there. He dives in and begins to explain to us the dynamic between the law and how it applies to our lives as Christ followers. Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 3, and we'll be at page 782 of our Bibles, Romans chapter 3, verse 21. So Jesus has told us that unless our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And Paul writes to us in verse 21 about this righteousness that Jesus spoke of. He says in verse 21, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness was testified by the law and by the prophets. This is Jesus that we're talking about. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Now that's where I go, whew, because as I read the Old Testament and I see, man, I have fallen short. Thank God that it's through faith in Jesus Christ that I am made righteous. He says, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's me. And are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement. The reason why Jesus could be presented as a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of all the world is that he was the perfect and spotless Lamb, because he fulfilled every law and all of the prophets, he was able to be made our atonement. So God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance, he had left sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified, declared to be just in the sight of God, justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of the Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised, that's the Jews, by faith, and the uncircumcised through the same faith. But then he makes this incredible statement that's so important in verse 31. He says, do we then nullify or abolish the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. See, what Paul is saying here is that, guys, unless, he's saying, in echoing Jesus, unless our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, unless our righteousness is 100% perfect, and the only way that that can happen is if it's through faith in Jesus, we won't enter the kingdom of heaven. So our righteousness doesn't come from obeying the law. It comes from faith in Jesus Christ, because Jesus perfectly obeyed the law throughout his life, fulfilling the law, fulfilling the prophets, becoming the sacrifice of atonement, so that if we put our faith in him, we are declared just by God, who is both just and the justifier of us who believe. Wow. Wow. That's so incredible. It is incredible. And to the Jew, they would be going, okay, I'm glad that you're not abolishing the law, but the questions would begin rolling off their mind. How then may I be declared to be more righteous than the scribes and the Pharisees? I don't have a chance. And here Jesus has shown us, and Paul is explaining to us, it is by faith in Jesus that we are to be declared right. But does this nullify the law? No. Not by any means. Jesus didn't come to abolish it. He said, not a single stroke of a pen from the law will disappear until everything is accomplished. That's the end of all things. And Paul writes, no, we do not nullify the law. Rather, we uphold it. You see, to the Jew, and Paul was a Jew, to the Jew, the law was everything. It was the ability to drive on a normal road without getting hit by a bus because there's no traffic laws, right? The law was everything to them. And it was the communication of God to a people of, this is how you obey me. This is how you live your lives for me. And so Paul is saying, look, if you're trying to follow the law in order to be declared just and righteous in God's sight, good luck. It's not going to happen. However, we don't abolish the law. We don't nullify the law. Why? Because obedience to God's ways brings us life and freedom. Let's turn to Psalm 19. David begins to explain to us the incredible, wonderful nature of the law, and what the Jews thought about the law is so wonderfully summed up here. Psalm chapter 19, verse 7. It's on page 383 of the Mosaic Bibles. Psalm 19, verse 7, David writes, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. And here he says, they are more precious than gold, than much pure gold, more sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. You know, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest of all of the commandments? He said that everything in the Old Testament, all of the commandments can be summed up in these statements that we would love the Lord our God with all of our hearts and all of our souls and all of our minds and all of our strength. And the second one is like it, that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. Guys, when we get to know what the incredible nature of God's word is in our lives, we begin for the first time to see freedom unfold in our lives and to see liberty unfold in our lives as we obey the commands of God rather than the systems and principles of this world. We begin to see freedom emerge in our lives, an incredible freedom that neither Jesus nor the Apostle Paul nor King David would want us to miss out on. Yes, we are justified by faith in Jesus, and that is, at the end of the day, what matters most. But beyond that, we don't just nullify everything that God wrote to his people and think that, oh, well, now because I have faith in Jesus, it's okay to murder, commit adultery, lie, and steal, right? Because when we do those things, what does it bring into our lives? It brings death and destruction. For those of you guys who've been around Mosaic for a long time, you know that God's word, obedience to it, brings life and freedom, right? And disobedience brings death and destruction. And so God is calling out to us through the writers of Scripture that yes, faith in Jesus is the only way that you'll be declared just. But don't forget, the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Don't forget that the law of God is sweeter than honey from the comb. That if you and I have been redeemed by Jesus and we've put our faith in Jesus, we shouldn't just run away from all the commands that God has given us, because faith in Jesus will produce in us a heart that wants to obey his commands. What did Jesus say? If you love me, you will obey my commands. And so here we sit. Here we sit. And for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus for salvation, we can look at the law of God in one of two ways. We can ignore it, and we can live according to the world, and the death and destruction that will come into our lives will wreak its havoc. Or we can look at the law of God, and as David did, we can embrace it. We can love it. We can hold it close to our hearts, and we can see it as the beautiful, wonderful honey that it is to our lips. You know, God has called us to be free. He's called us to be free. And obeying him is the quickest path to freedom every single time. And so many of us, I think we sit and we want to do great things for God. We want to be the people that love God with all of our hearts and our soul and our mind and our strength. We want to love our neighbor as ourselves. Here at Mosaic, we talk about loving God and loving people and serving the world. And we have really no hope of doing the great things for God that we think we want to do, or to walk out the call that God has on our life, the things that he's designed us to do. We can't do those great things for God if we're ignoring everything that he's written to us clearly in Scripture. How can we expect to change the world for the gospel if we're not even sure what God says for us to do every day in our own lives? And so today, as we hear Jesus from the mountainside saying, look, I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. And everyone who does what is commanded and teaches to others to do these things will be called great in the kingdom. And just so you know, this is not where you get your righteousness. This is where you see freedom emerge in your life. You know, we have some people here at Mosaic that have been walking this road with Christ for some time and have seen Jesus for who he is and have been justified by him and have begun to follow the path of what God's word is saying for their lives. They've done the practical things, the things that God's word is clear on, and they've implemented those things in their lives, and they've walked down the road. And when they've messed up, they've seen it's been tragic. And when they've obeyed, they've seen it's been freedom. And these people are here at Mosaic, and they're asking God now the bigger questions. What do you want me to do with my life, God? Where can I go to serve the world? What can I do to serve the world? And because they have seen the freedom emerge in their lives through obedience that is clear in Scripture. They are now about to step into some incredible, incredible things that they're going to do for God. And so I'm going to ask Stu to come on up. Stu is the director of our missions here at Mosaic. And what he does is he coordinates all the global missions, and he's going to talk to you about a couple of people. But tomorrow I'd like to do something great for God, and I'd like to move halfway across the world or whatever that may be. You know, for us to live lives that are glorifying to God and that are effective in ministry and that have the ability to impact people's hearts, we got to start here in our own lives. You know, if you and I have seen Jesus for who he is, the Savior of the world, in him we have hope. If you've seen that and you know him, then hear him today. I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets. David wrote in Psalm chapter 1. If you want to turn there, you can. It's on page 377. He says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." His delight is in the law of the Lord. "He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." If we have seen Jesus for who he is, he's our Savior, and he has justified us before God, then let the law of the Lord be our delight. Let's meditate on it day and night, and we will be a people that are planted deep by streams of water, and we will bear fruit. You know, we talk a lot about here at Mosaic loving God and loving people and serving the world. And Jesus did say that all of the commands of God can be summed up with loving God with everything that we are and loving our neighbor as ourselves. If you and I want to be people who will serve the world and see God change people's lives through us and through this church, we need and must and have to delight in the law of God. If you're here today and yes, you've seen Jesus for who he is and you're a Christ follower and yet the Bible is just like, it's like a chore to you, I pray that God would change your heart and that you would approach the word of God as David did and see it as honey, like honey from the comb, and know that through obedience to God's law, we see life and freedom. Let's pray.